Good morning.
Oh, I'll get there quickly. Is this working? Yeah.
What a privilege it is to be able to speak to you on Global Mission Sunday. I hope you're ready to hear from God this morning. I've enjoyed getting ready for this morning. Some of you know exactly what we mean when we use words like mission or missions, missionaries, missiology. But I think that there may be some here today who might be a little bit fuzzy when the church starts talking about the importance of global missions and why missions are such a big deal. And as we heard in the prayer time, the global prayer just now, we heard about the missions that we here in Maybridge continue to support. AWM Pioneers, Frank and Karen and Chris, and Emmanuel Ministries in Calcutta, and the European Christian Mission and the Fernandes in Portugal, Open Doors, Tear Fund, in the DRC, and Anna Chilvers there, and OM in Angola. And after the service, at the table up in the foyer there, if you would like to know more about any of these missions that Maybridge supports, please do pop along there and talk to people who are there, and they'd be thrilled to give you more information. So anyway, back to what global missions is all about. I'd like to get back to some basics today and share a few key ideas. Is this working? Do it for me, thank you. About what missions are all about. This isn't working here, and so I'll just let you do it for me. That's good. Most simply, mission is an important assignment carried out for political, religious, or commercial purposes. And for Christians, we have a most important assignment that involves telling others about God's plan. Couldn't be more simple than that. Some say that God is in the process of recreating the universe, which has been corrupted by sin and has made it possible for all those and only those who follow Jesus to be part of the magnificent, eternal community that will result. Some say that God has made promises to bring his people to himself and is fulfilling these promises through Christ. Some say that a holy God sends his righteous Son to die for the unrighteous sinners so that we can be holy and live happily with God forever. Some say that Jesus is simply the promised Savior King. Some say that God is redeeming his creation by bringing it under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And the one that I think I love the most of all is that some say our mission is simply to declare that God made it, that we broke it, and that Jesus fixes it. So let me say three specific things about missions now. First of all, local ministry and local mission are absolutely, totally necessary. Local ministry, which is what happens here in a church like ours, must never, ever be neglected. Our local ministry amongst one another and amongst the people that we live in and around must never, ever be reduced to the inconsequential. It's still mission. We must never, ever forget that we are salt and light right here in Worthing. Our assignment is just as much local as it is to places that are far away. Secondly, global missions is tragically neglected. Just an example. In the north of Yemen, there are 8 million people. 8 million people in the northern part of the country of Yemen in the Middle East. Do you know how many believers there are amongst those 8 million people? People who know and follow Jesus as their Lord? There are probably more people sitting on the first three rows of church here today than there are believers amongst those 8 million people. That's kind of sobering, isn't it? Go back four rows in church this morning, we've got more believers than there are in Yemen, in the north part of Yemen, that is. Over 2 billion people in the world today are classified as unreached. And when we use that word, unreached, as a descriptor, it means more than they are just simply unsaved or have not yet decided to accept Jesus as their Savior, but that the gospel is simply inaccessible to them. The third thing we must remember about missions is that Christians have the privilege and the responsibility to lead the way in global mission. There are over 6,000 people groups making up this 2 billion people who are not yet reached with the gospel. And this is a problem not just for the missionary groups and the mission agencies to be addressing. This is our problem too, right here in this church. This is something that Maybridge Community Church can actually do something about. We love the people in our own church. We call that local ministry. And we love all the people in Worthing and around Worthing, and we call that local mission, to the end that one day all the peoples in the world receive the gospel of God and revere the glory of God. And that's global missions. Christians believe in the rock solid sovereignty of God above all things. And his assignment to us, his mission for us, is to go out there and tell people that God made it, we broke it, and Jesus fixed it. I'd like us to follow through with me as I read from Revelation 5 now. That'll come up next. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before God, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voices of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wisdom, with power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Wow. Isn't that just an awesome passage of scripture? Four theological truths that I want to bring out from this text this morning. The first one is that our sovereign God holds the destiny of the world in the palm of his hand. Our sovereign God. A great writer of yesterday, you young people, if you've never read an author called A.W. Tozer, go and look for him. Language might be a little bit archaic for you, but it's brilliant stuff. Go and read him. He said, "Almighty God, just because he is almighty, needs no support. The picture of a nervous, ingratiating God fawning over men to win their favor is not a pleasant one. Yet if we look at the popular conception of God, that is precisely what we see." Tozer goes on to say, 20th century Christianity has put God on charity. So lofty is our opinion of ourselves that we find it quite easy, not to say enjoyable, to believe that we are necessary to God. It's so hard to get over our natural egotism. Well, it's for me. I think it is for you too. But God does not need our help. Missions are not based upon God needing our help because somehow his abilities are limited. Let's get over that one. No. True mission begins when an individual Christian begins to fully comprehend the absolute, undeniable, infinitely powerful sovereignty of God. Missions begins and ends with this. And our role is simply to cooperate with him. Secondly, the state of man before God, apart from Christ, is utterly hopeless. Go back to Revelation, and in chapter 5, verse 2, we read, "I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it." That scroll contains the grand purpose of God in the world. And the silence of heaven testifies to the sinfulness of man. No one is worthy. And John, the writer of the Revelation, is weeping. There is no hope apart from Christ. George Whitefield, a great preacher from another century, used to speak with tears in his eyes of the torment of burning like a livid coal, not for an instant or for a day, but for millions and millions of ages, at the end of which souls will realize that they are no closer to the end than when they first begun, and they will never, ever, ever be delivered from that place. Sometimes the way that we talk about hell It was a hell of a game. What a hell of a song. That was a hell of a meal. He's a hell of a guy. It just shows that a lot of us have absolutely no real idea what we're talking about when we talk about hell. Thirdly, the greatest news in all the world is that the slaughtered Lamb of God reigns as the sovereign Lord of all. The book of Revelations tells us to weep no more. Do you know why? Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered and can open the scroll. Genesis tells us that the Lion of the tribe of Judah will one day have the obedience of all the peoples. The prophet Isaiah said that the shoot from the stump of Jesse will come, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit, and that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and he will stand as a signal for the peoples. God told the prophet Jeremiah that he would raise up a righteous branch who will reign as king. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament was able to write with such confidence, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist told his followers when he saw Jesus walking toward him, "Look, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Throughout history, from the beginning of time, men have come and gone. Women have come and gone. All of them, the noblest of them, the kindest of them, the strongest of them, the greatest of them. But every single one of them has fallen prey to sin. Every single one of them, man and woman, enslaved. All of them, generation after generation, century after century, every single man, every single woman has one day succumbed to death. And then came another man, unlike any other. This man did not fall prey to sin. He possessed power over sin. This man was not enslaved to Satan. He was enslaved to righteousness. And this man did not succumb to death. He triumphed over death. How? By suffering as a lamb. He was marred, he was despised, he was rejected, he was stricken, he was smitten, he was afflicted, he was wounded, he was chastised, he was oppressed, he was pulverized in our place. And every single one of us who hide under the banner of his blood will be saved. Not just enduring death in our place, this Lamb of God. He defeated death by his power. He bears the scars of death, and yet he is sovereign over death. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands inside. Those wounds yet visible above in beauty, glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye at mysteries so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed over the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives, that death may die. In Revelation, we read, He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. Breathtaking audacity. Salvation through sacrifice. The consummation of the kingdom coming through the crucifixion of God's Son. Jesus was obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name above every other name. Fourthly, the atonement of Christ is graciously global and glorious in particular. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down and they began to sing a new song. Do you remember what that new song was? Worthy, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you purchased people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. And so our obedience to the great commission of Christ is incomplete if we just simply think it's about going out there and making some disciples. Our commission is to make disciples of all the nations, of all the peoples. 6,000 people groups living today have not been reached with the message of this Jesus who can save them. Here in Maybridge, we're supporting a few of the enterprises that are trying to reach them. If we believe that Jesus died to purchase people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, then let's go to every tribe and every tongue and every nation. Not because we are somehow guilty that we've discovered Jesus and they haven't, but because the passion that drives us is not about feeling guilty about unreached people, but because we simply want to glorify Christ our King. Because we long to hear people from every single people group in the world giving praise to our sovereign God. And so we're not going to stop until every one of them is purchased by Christ and is exalting his name. So as I begin to end, let's consider some really practical implications for us in this church that we call Maybridge Community. First of all, let's pray confidently for the spread of the gospel to all peoples. Every single one of us here can do that, right? You can pray. Jesus was teaching not long before he was arrested, and he said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." That's what we must pray for. We need to pray for the end to come. We need to ask God to hasten the preaching of the gospel to all the nations. We need to trust God to show us who those nations are. But our work is simply to complete the assignment. And when it is done, Christ will come. So long as Christ does not return, it's a pretty good indication that our work isn't finished yet. Secondly, let us give sacrificially. I've no idea what the real story is in the UK. If anyone's got proper research on this, let me know. I'd love to read it. But I have read some research that says that for every £100 Christians give, only about 5p of that ever makes it toward reaching the unreached. whether they are a continent away or just around the corner here. We could probably do more. We could probably give more if we learned more about how to give sacrificially. Just a reminder that sacrificial giving does actually sometimes mean that we have to sacrifice things in order to give. Thirdly, let us go intentionally to all peoples. Maybe you can give a few weeks or a few months or a few years. But ask the Lord what it is that He would want you to do on mission for Him. Go and ask Him. Missions need willing people. And your skills could be just what a particular missionary need has. It would not surprise me in the least if there were 50 people in church this morning who God would use in a heartbeat. And all He's waiting for you to say is, "I'm listening. Tell me, show me, I'll go." If you were willing to tell Him that you were available, you were willing to come under His absolute, total, undeniable sovereignty in these things. And fourthly, maybe the hardest one for us today is, let us die intentionally. That's a little bit more extreme, isn't it? Remember that having a high view of the sovereignty of God brings me to accept that I might even have to die for the privilege of helping other people find eternal victory through Jesus. I'd like to end with a story about a Romanian pastor, Joseph Tson, who was recounting a time when he was being interrogated by six strong men. These men had been treating him very cruelly, beating him, abusing him mentally. And he looked at them and he said, "What is taking place here is not an encounter between you and me. This is an encounter between my God and me. My God is teaching me a lesson through you. I do not know what it is yet. Maybe He wants to teach me several lessons. I only know, sirs, that you will do to me only what God wants you to do, and that you will not go one inch further, because you are only an instrument of God." Imagine saying that to your torturer. And he said that every day he saw those six pompous men as nothing more than his father's puppets. He also wrote about this time when he was being persecuted enormously for his faith. He said, "During an early interrogation, I had told an officer who was threatening to kill me, 'Sir, let me explain to you how I see the issue. Your supreme weapon is killing. My supreme weapon is dying. Here's how it works. You know that my sermons are on tape and have spread all over the country. If you kill me, those sermons will be sprinkled with my blood. Everyone will know that I died for my preaching, and everyone who has a tape will pick it up and say, 'I had better listen again to what this man preached, because he really meant it. He sealed it with his life.' So, sirs, my sermons will speak 10 times louder than before. I will actually rejoice in this supreme victory if you kill me." After I said this, the interrogator sent me home. Another officer who was interrogating a pastor friend of mine told me, "We know that Mr. Son would love to be a martyr, but we are not that foolish to fulfill his wish." And Son said, "I stopped to consider the meaning of that statement. I remembered for how many years I'd been afraid of dying. I'd kept a low profile because I had badly wanted to live. I had wasted my life in inactivity. But now that I had placed my life on the altar and decided that I was ready to die for the gospel, they were telling me they would not kill me. After that, I could go wherever I wanted in the country and preach whatever I wanted, knowing that I was safe. As long as I tried to save my life, I was losing it. And now that I was willing to lose it, I found it. I'd like to close by showing a video. And it's a video that I hope that you will allow the Lord to use just to speak to you about where you are with Him and where you are with missions. During the video, I know the coffee people will probably need to get up and go and get coffee ready. And after the video, I'll just ask Martin to come and close the service. And please do go up and talk to people about missions and how you can get involved, whether it's local on your doorstep or right out there somewhere. God bless you all.